This is how seriously God takes his holiness. The priests were to execute anybody who disobeyed God and tried to gain unauthorized access into his special presence in the tent. That is how seriously God takes his holiness. Well, unsurprisingly, God takes his holiness as seriously today as he did in Old Testament Israel. God hasn't suddenly decided, now Jesus has come, my holiness is unimportant and you can trample all over it. Now, whilst I'm sure you'll be glad to hear that the church leaders are not called to summarily execute anybody who is errant in the church, thankfully, that wouldn't be good for you or for us. We are still called to take God's holiness seriously. The question is, what does taking God's holiness seriously in the church actually look like in practice? Well, first and foremost, it means helping people, encouraging people, and supporting people to obey God's word and seeking to help one another worship God in the way that God has asked to be worshipped. That's fundamentally what it looks like. But the truth is, there is a flip side to that. And that flip side means meaningfully addressing sin in the church when it arises. It means treating God's holiness with the respect it deserves by weeding out flagrant sin that exists within the church body. Yes, on the whole, it is supporting, encouraging, building up, and seeking to help people in a positive way obey God. But it also means those who are openly disobeying God must come under right and proper church discipline. I think all too often in the church, we worry far more about being nice than we do about God's holiness. God's holiness can go and whistle because I don't want someone to be a bit mean to me. God's holiness can go by the wayside because I don't really want to have an awkward conversation with somebody. Now, we worry more about what people will think of us than God's sovereign holiness. We worry more about making sure that nobody leaves the church or nobody ever gets upset rather than we do about what is dishonouring to God and what is causing his name to be trampled through the mud. Now, I am quite sure, if you could speak to one, any Levite priest would tell you this. There is nothing nice about executing somebody for entering a tent. I highly doubt the people who were executed thought that was nice, and I strongly suspect the people having to do the execution didn't feel that great about it either, if I'm being honest. You know, I'm sure there were plenty of people in Israel looking at that and going, gosh, it's a bit harsh that, isn't it? But here's the truth, God will not be mocked. God will not be disobeyed openly and flagrantly and repeatedly by those people who claim to bear his name. And he calls his church to holiness. This is what 1 Peter 1:16 says, quoting God, "Be holy because I am holy." The writer of Hebrews says, "Strive for holiness." Not strive for niceness, strive for holiness. Just as God commanded the Levites to put to death any who disobey his law, and his law is a statement of his holy character, Jesus tells us to enact church discipline and even to excommunicate from the church those who would openly and flagrantly disobey and undermine the holiness of God. God takes his holiness seriously. And just as the Levites were called to protect the people, it was a protection for them, so church discipline, it's not just about punishing someone who has disobeyed, it is about protecting the rest of the people from the wrath of God. Protecting the rest of the people from being dragged away into sin that will bring your soul into danger. And I think we so often forget that. Church discipline is not fundamentally about punishing an individual. Ideally, you want to restore them back into fellowship. But where they won't be, it is about protecting the rest of the people. We often have one person in view when there are 30, 40 or 50 other people sat in the same pews who need to be protected from that sin. Well, Jesus tells us to remove fellowship from those who are in sin, and Paul commands us, purge the evil person from among you. Both tell us not even to eat and spend time with unrepentant people who openly and flagrantly disobey Christ. Well, if that is how seriously God takes his holiness, ask yourself this: have we displayed that kind of respect for God's holiness here in this place? Would we remove people from fellowship because they are openly in sin? And that's not just removing their membership, it's saying we can't even eat with you, we can't even spend time with you until such time as there is some repentance here. Would we defend the holiness of God and the purity of his church by removing people who disregard his holiness and behave however they please? Would we do that? Now, if the answer to that is no, then our reaction to people's sin is to brush it under the carpet and claim that we love them. Well, that is neither loving and nor is it protecting the holiness of God. It is actually endangering their soul, endangering the souls of the church, and pretending that God's holiness doesn't matter. We are actually doing exactly the same thing as Nadab and Abihu, but dare I say, we are doing it more flagrantly and more disobediently. We are saying that God has got it wrong, and I know better than him when it comes to his holiness. I know better than him when it comes to the discipline of his people. Somehow I can be more loving than God by not doing what he tells me to do. The Levites here were to protect the people by executing those people who tried to enter his dwelling place, and it was to protect God's people from his wrath. Well, in the same way, that failure to enact church discipline will incur very often God's wrath, and we'll see churches destroyed. It will see churches brought to nothing because we decided we knew better than God and his holiness didn't matter. God calls us to enact church discipline, to defend the purity of the church and to express his holiness. Well, God cares about his holiness. He cares about the purity of his church. The question for us is, do you?